stop this nonsense with Manzardo. Play the dude every day. If you can't find somebody to take Carlos Santana off your hands, then cut him. I know they don't like to eat value here, but the idea that Kyle Manzardo has, what, 3 home runs in his last 2 games?
Yeah, 2 last night.
And he's not in the lineup today. When, by the way, you're struggling to find power out of your lineup, stop this.
Yeah, the Manzardo thing, Guardians fans are right to be really mad about how this continues to go on.
And I understand it's a numbers problem. Then solve the numbers problem.
Well, I don't need to see David Fry every night either. That's the other part of this. Santana stinks. He hasn't gotten any better. I've been calling it out for a month and a half, and everyone's like, oh, he'll heat up. He always heats up in the summer. Not this year, okay? He's not good anymore. He can't play anymore.
But by the way, I don't care if he does. If you trade him to Boston and he starts to rake, the point is, Manzardo's your everyday first baseman going forward. Play him.
Has to be. But it's not only just the idea that they want to consistently play Santana, it's that they keep giving these at-bats to David Fry. And David Fry, circa last year in the first half of the season, it's not there. It's not coming. I'm sorry. I know he's coming back from an injury still, but it's not there. Manzardo deserves these everyday opportunities.
Well, not just that. Like, he's actually performing, so he deserves right. them. But also, like, if this is now about getting ready for 2026, who do you really need to be ready for 2026 and ready to, I don't know, be the best version of himself? Probably Kyle Manzardo. And my worry is, this is always the you got to find out what you have in a player.
Mm-hmm.
4 days a week, you're not finding out truly if Manzardo can play every day. That's a piece of the puzzle you need in place by the end of this season.
Well, on top of the idea that I understand what they're trying to do with the platoons, but his platoons splits aren't bad in any sort of way. They were last year. They're not this year. He is better, even in the platoon matchup that doesn't make sense, a million times better than what David Fry or Carlos Santana are in the ones that do make sense.
It's just, there's no really defending it from any angle other than we've got 3 guys trying to play 2 positions, which is the easiest thing to handle on the planet. Like, if Boston really wants Shane Bieber, cool. You also need a first baseman? Here's Carlos Santana,
mm-hmm.
right? And not as, like, you might actually be able to get something in that scenario because they're not paying a bulk of the package for Shane Bieber. You know me, man. I can rock with most of the things the Guardians are doing. And most of the platoons, even though I'm not the biggest fan of them, I at least understand it if a guy's hitting for no power and is hitting .170. That I get. Nolan Jones, who, again, I've been staunchly like, guys, he's not the biggest problem. I don't understand why you're teeing off on Nolan Jones. Okay, yeah, maybe you don't play him every day because the power isn't there. He did have a double last night, so it's coming around.
It's been coming around for 2
months.
But
it was just, well, honestly, if it's...
Unfortunately, it's just that's every week. It's like it's coming around.
My problem with that is, people, like, for 6 weeks, everyone completely looked the other way, that he was actually performing and kept saying, cut him. Then he had 12 at-bats that it was really atrocious, or 12 games that it was really atrocious. And then all of a sudden, they were cool with the sample size. And then after last night, it's like, well, but the power's still not there. It's like, all right, like, Nolan is not the biggest problem.
Well, no, he's not the biggest problem, but we're not having, I feel like, enough honest conversations about this team when it pertains to who should be playing and who shouldn't be playing. I never need to see Jonathan Rodriguez again. I never need to see Will Wilson again. Like, we know the players we don't need to be invested in, the players that we think can actually be something, but Manzardo not playing, I mean, he's your 3rd best hitter. Him not playing every day is just, it's a slap in the face to Manzardo, and the fans have definitely picked up on it.
And it's power.
Right.
He's got 18 home runs right now. If he had played every day, he might be over 20 home runs, 22 home runs. So God bless Carlos. He's an elite first baseman defensively. And he's a passable first baseman offensively if he's not your 4th most important hitter, which is what he's been for most of this year. He's just not worthy of getting in the way. And I get it. I really get it. I truly, truly get it. That they're thinking, we got to somehow turn that $11 million into something.
Well, that might be what it is.
I'd rather you turn Kyle Manzardo into something.
For sure. And that's where I feel like You know, we talked earlier about the Browns situation at quarterback, and it was like, well, the Browns can't let the idea that they took Dylan Gabriel in the third round be the decision over playing Shedeur Sanders if Shedeur looks better. This is from the same category that the Guardians are trying to pull off. They're trying to justify getting rid of Josh Naylor and the money spent there to go ahead and spend it on Carlos Santana, and they're forcing it to try to work, and you don't have to do this. As a fan base, we're just getting mad. We'll let you off the hook there. I promise you, we aren't going to throw it in your face time and time again. We just want to see Manzardo play every day.
So it's been a hot minute since we have a trade. We do have a trade to announce here, not for the Guardians, but the Phillies are close to acquiring Duran, the closer from the Twins, according to Ken Rosenthal. Mm. As of right now, I do not see any of the official packages are going back. He is controllable, similar to Class A. And to Kate Smith, so I would imagine this would be like a Justin Crawford or an Aiden Smith. Or is that Aiden Miller? I think Aiden Smith is in the Rays.
Aiden Miller, yeah.
So I would imagine Andrew Knapp would just be funny because Andrew hasn't been healthy for like 4 years. But so the Twins have made a trade as part of their selling. That does still open up the fact that the Dodgers need a high leverage reliever. They're also very much in on Stephen Kwan, which now leads me to the question of, are we going to get an in-game trade tonight by the Guardians?
An in-game trade where they do the, they start hugging all the teammates in the dugout. And then it's like, oh, it's always so awkward for the broadcasting crew. Cause they're trying to figure out what's going on, but then they see the hugs and they pieced it together, but nothing's actually been announced yet. And they're like, so Stephen Kwan is leaving the game tonight.
Yeah, so that's the one you can't in-game trade.
Kwan?
You can in-game trade Santana. Obviously, Bieber won't matter because he's in the minors on rehab. You can in-game trade Kate Smith.
What is Kate Smith's value right now?
I don't know.
That last outing, I mean, it ballooned his ERA up near 4. I don't know that his value is not the same as it was 3 weeks ago. I know that.
Yeah,
but the market's still pretty good for that type of player.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's really tough to tell. And I would imagine the Guardians have one of the higher prices possible. I seriously wonder if they would even have a higher price on Cade Smith than Class A, given it's 4.5 years of control. And he is your closer if at any point Class A gets unsuspended and you get to trade him.
Hmm. It'll be interesting. All right. So you're saying Kwan mid-game trade.
Yeah, just don't.
What happens if that happens?
It's at home. All right.
Do we start booing?
I think booing might be the...
What is the booing? What is the reaction from the fan base if that happens? Oh, man. That would be very, very interesting to see.
I don't want to put it into the ether what I think would happen. But I'll tell you.
10-cent beer night all over?
I don't think it would be just booing. I was thinking Bottlegate.
Okay.
Yeah. Although maybe it's like Cupgate.
Cupgate?
Yeah, it's just more of an inconvenience than it is a hazard. there's 21,000 cups on the field right now.
Does the netting actually help the Guardians at that point then?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them bounce back and they get a little spittle on you. Yeah, no, but again, it'll be the act itself is the act of, you know, again, more of an inconvenience than it is a hazard, but the point will be made.
I am interested to see what the Guardians fans' reaction is going to be, because there's a lot of people that are going to the extremes of this. Like, I'll never be a Guardians fan again because it means they don't pay their players a second contract and we're never going to have a chance. And I just, it's interesting. I know people want to go to bat for Stephen Kwan. I do. I get it. But it's not as if you traded J-Ram, for instance. But I feel like for people and where the fan base is right now, it's going to be treated as close to that as we could possibly see.
Yeah, it's weird that they have re-signed Jose Ramirez. And it's just we've now moved on to the next one to being like, well, they didn't re-sign him. It's like, okay, but they did re-sign Jose. And in fairness, Jose is on a different level. Maybe not of popularity, because Kwan is incredibly popular. But in terms of actual impact on wins and losses, Jose's a much more important player to you than Stephen Kwan because of the power aspect alone.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's not even a debate. I'm just trying to figure out how hard in the paint people will go for Kwan, or if it happens, will people instantly be like, oh, we got back player X, Y, and Z, and that front office, well, boy, did they do it again.
Oh, no, I think anything they do. I mean, there's already been enough of fire the front office that I've heard even since the Class A and Class A news earlier this week. It's like, well, just tell us you wanted to fire him anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to fire. They're not going to get fired because two of their players got like rounded up into gambling. Like, you just wanted to fire them. And now this is just something you're using in that case.
Yeah, I think that's a point for a lot of fans, though. I've seen more fans fed up with them and more fans fed up with the situation right now than I can ever really remember as a Guardians.
This would make an in-season trade even funnier.
What's that?
Do you know who's in Cleveland today? Tom Withers tweeting this out just seconds ago. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred is in Cleveland today. Honestly, all right, so
is Jose going to curse him out like Bryce Harper did?
No, Jose might curse him out on the opposite. Like, remember, Bryce Harper was like, you want a salary cap, you can get out.
Which was an awesome response by Manfred to be like, no. Yeah. Harper's like, leave the locker room if you want to bring that conversation to the table. And Manfred was like, no, I'm not leaving the locker room.
Did he sit down and go, okay, sir?
That's a quote. He's like, no, I'm not leaving the locker room.
Yeah.
Harper, like, well, okay. You talk big, and then it didn't happen. What's your next move?
By the way, we don't talk enough about what a punk-ass Bryce Harper is.
Oh, stop that. No, no, no. I like Bryce Harper a lot.
I like the player. He's a punk-ass. He is...
TikTok softened me on Bryce Harper. TikTok has like a whole series on Bryce Harper like making banana bread. Bryce Harper doing like he's like a 75-year-old grandma on TikTok.
Yeah.
He makes banana bread.
And then he talks
about different coffees and how he makes the coffees.
And then he acts like Stipe Miocic diamond.
He is all sizzle, no steak when it comes to that stuff.
Yes, that's exactly.
He's a paper tiger, and everyone knows it. And everyone knows it. Big Ohio State guy, that Bryce Harper.
But a great baseball player.
I like Bryce Harper, but I'm from the generation that likes Bryce Harper that way. I don't know why you're... Why did you skip
generations.
It? What happened? Why did you skip it?
Because he's a clown.
Bryce Harper's our generation's like baseball version of LeBron. Why did that skip it for you?
Because he's not as good as LeBron?
No, but at 15, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated the same way that LeBron was, and he's not maximized it the same way LeBron did for the hype relative to when he was 15 years old. But he's come about as close as you possibly can.
I mean, he's a very good baseball player. He's probably a Hall of Famer, and that's commendable. He's just too much chotch. Like, by the way, did not realize 351 home runs in his career. A little more impressed than I thought. I was thinking like 300 tops.
Man, I've always liked Bryce Harper.
Your generation would.
I know.
We're the same generation.
Clearly. I didn't know there was a big divide on Bryce. I thought our generation. I thought we met in the middle on Bryce Harper. You're 4 years older than me, that is. I thought that was the divide.
That was where we...
That's what it was.
Well, younger millennials. I am an older millennial. I just would love it if Hosey cursed Rob Manfred out for not pushing hard enough or fast enough for a salary cap. He's like, you understand, we got to trade Kwan because you didn't get this done already.
It would be wild. Also, like Jose cursing him out in Spanish, too, by the way.
Which sounds worse?
You don't want to be cursed out in Spanish.
You ever been cursed out in another language?
So when I worked in the restaurant, I worked with a lot of Ecuadorians, and they would use a lot of colorful language. I became really good friends with a decent amount of them, so I have a great respect for Ecuador, and I like Ecuador a lot. But when they got mad, oh boy, would they curse you out and everything under the sun.
I don't want to give away too many details, because I actually think people might know who I'm talking about, where I'm from. But there was a friend of mine who was one of the exchange students, and they lost their patience with me one day, and I heard many a words that I knew I was not supposed to understand what it meant. And it was like a good friend of mine. Like, we were good buddies, and they just... I was frustrating them on some level. I didn't even realize I was doing it, which is different, because usually I get a twinkle in my eye because I know I'm frustrating you, and I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
And after like four words in, I was like, man, that was a lot. I didn't know I was doing.
Yeah, they eventually really became on my side in many ways because they liked my work ethic. They thought they would always tell me I don't work like a white person.
Mm.
That was like a major compliment I always took in stride. But I'd never in my life, like if Duolingo had been around, I would have had that so quick. I wanted to know all the conversations they were having that I didn't understand. And I never got there.
They didn't just say that in English to your face and then
Espanol? There was a respect.
There's a dawning comprehension in his face.
We made fun of a lot of honkies together.
That he knows.
Because I'd be like, that person's lazy. I don't like that person. And they'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right about that person.
So then they turned on a dime. We're like, yeah, but you're not lazy.
No, wink, wink. No, I worked hard at that job. I did. But they tell me about all the like going back home in the wintertime and like owning like 300 cows. And they'd be like busboys and server assistants, and they'd go home and to like their 300 cows. Yeah. They'd work like they'd work so hard, but they'd work hard for like 8 months out of the year, and then they'd go home and to like just lavish lifestyles.
And then here's the thing: you had no cows.
I had no cows. They didn't I still have no cows.
They would not like the man you've turned into. No cow, Johnny.
No, they wouldn't.
No, so Johnny. No cow, Johnny.
They're all gonna laugh at you. Yeah, they're gonna laugh at me behind my back.
I at least or would in like front of to get face. Some cows one day so I can butcher them.
Listen, if you were from Ecuador, you'd have like 700 cows right now.
I'd be the cow king.
You'd have all the cows.
Yeah, I'd dress like a cow too, so there'd be a whole different look.
Just to add to the tally.
In case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.